one of our favorite moments. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, April 25th, and this is the regular town council meeting for the town of Curie Beach. John, can we have an invocation and a lead for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Sir, please join me in prayer. Holy One, known by many names and beyond all names, the Spirit of Light, the Spirit of Love, the Spirit of Justice, and particularly the Spirit of Community, we ask your blessings on the people that are gathered here and those who have been called to lead this community in which we live and work and play. Help us as leaders not to ask first, how do we fix this, but what do we need to learn? How might we need to change? And to whom do we need to listen? Remind us, because we all forget from time to time, especially in the noisiness of what passes for political debate today, that we are not only leaders but also servants, and that it is our responsibility to serve the common good of all. Grant us the wisdom and courage to know and do what is right and good and true. May we speak out when it is time to speak out and listen patiently and respectfully when it is time to listen. May we always be guided by the Spirit of Community, Spirit of Justice, and that Spirit of Love. This we pray in the name of all that we hold sacred and holy, and all that we hold good and right and true. Amen.
Amen. Stand for pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Be seated. Okay, gentlemen, please review the consent agenda items and let me know if there are any recommended changes. If there are not, I will accept a motion to accept them as presented.
Make a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda is approved as presented. Now the adoption of the agenda. Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda that was put out to the public? If we do not, I will accept a motion for the agenda as posted.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the agenda as published.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're going to move into public comment before the meeting gets started. I want to explain one thing about the public comment. You are generally here to talk about something that is not necessarily an agenda item here. So when you come up and I call your name, please give us your name, your Curie Beach address, and you have 3 minutes to explain to us what's on your mind. We will take that as opinion and input, but there will not be discussion on it this evening. It is not an agenda item. I just want you to understand the way that that works. So first on the list here is Mr. Dirks.
Hello, town council. My name is Mark Dirks. I live at 341 Fort Bishop Boulevard South. I never want to talk. I think there's other people here to talk about the gods of the dogs. I'm here to make a formal request that you consider modifying the ordinance regarding dogs on the beach, which looks like it has been in place since 1998. I'm new here, so some of this, you know, has been researched. I'm not here to complain. I'm just bringing 5 points for you to consider that support a change as someone that cares about Curie Beach. The world has changed. About 23 million homes acquired a pet during COVID, according to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There are many other articles regarding this surge. Many more people travel with their pets now as well. The current ordinance, number two, the current ordinance does not maximize the support of tourism, especially being a family family beach, the growth of pet ownership, and also the general acceptance of pets in day-to-day activities. More importantly, number three, the current ordinance does not consider the impact on Curie Beach residents that own pets. Enforcement of the ordinance seems to be poor. The only people who really adhere to the rules seem to be residents. Yet I have heard accounts that when officers do issue citations, they are primarily to residents while letting visitors go with warnings. You really can't have rules that you can't and won't enforce. Number five, signage needs attention. There are five separate signs at the public walk access next to my house, and the larger one is composed of seven other smaller signs. Most people don't read all that, and the rules regarding dogs on the beach are buried in all the words on the signs. And in fact, the sign is not about being dog-friendly, but quite the opposite, with a dog with a slash through it that is visible year-round. Rules are created to drive behavior, right? So I believe it would be prudent for the council to first ask, what is the purpose of this ordinance? Have things changed since it was enacted? And what are we trying to accomplish? Number one, is it about preventing dog waste on the beach that dogs scare some people, or maybe it's to protect the dogs from heat exposure? I can assure you that way more people pick up after their dogs than don't. The leash ordinance addresses the fear, and most dog owners know how heat can hurt their dog. The point is that the majority do the right thing, and we shouldn't penalize the majority because of the few that don't. I see a lot more litter on the beach, but we don't ban people from using the beach. Even with the current ordinance, I can tell you that I see a steady stream of dogs going down to the public walkway year-round regardless of the season. I took pictures of a couple of people and their dog today walking down the public walkway to the beach, by far people driving by and nobody saying nothing. I see the vast majority of dog owners picking up after their dogs. I see very little enforcement. In fact, last year dogs were sitting with their owner right near the lifeguard stand, and an officer drove by multiple times. We finally stopped him and pointed it out, but all he did was talk with the owners for a while and drive off. The dogs stayed, no citation. They weren't service dogs either. So what do I do as a resident when I see this? Follow the rules while others seemingly don't have to. While the special dog areas off the beach are nice, it's a fallacy to see them as an acceptable alternative for the beach because they harbor all the same exact issues. In fact, it might be worse because people have no choice but to walk their dogs around neighborhoods. People walk their dogs year-round in front of my house, along First and Fourth Fisher Boulevard, but can't on the beach. So I brought some recommendations for you to consider, and then I'll be done. Here are the quick notes. I got the longer version if you want to read it. Modify the ordinance to only restrict dogs from being on the beach from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. between May 1st and September 30th. This will allow dogs before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m. We are really only talking about adding a few hours in the morning and a few hours at the end of the day and moving the start date maybe from April to May. Change the mindset and emphasis by making Curry Beach about being dog friendly, making it a positive thing, especially given the family orientation, the growth in dog ownership, and the additional revenue it can produce. Heck, we talked about being family-friendly, eco-friendly, bike-friendly, pedestrian-friendly, well, just friendly. We could be dog-friendly too, I think. As for enforcement, how about this slogan? If the lifeguard is in the chair, dogs can't be there.
Okay.
There will be more eyes on the beach to notify officers during restricted hours. Other things I noted for you to review: improve or limit or remove signage altogether and use the internet so people can learn the rules. Scan like you do for the cars right now for parking. Put waste bags at each accesses, just like the dog areas. We certainly want the beach to be as clean as the dog areas, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it would reinforce expected behavior.
Okay. Mr. Dirks, how much longer do you... Mr. Dirks, how much longer do you have?
I've got 3 seconds.
Okay.
Consider requiring owners to buy tags. This is the revenue piece, like parking. Lots of good reasons for this, including revenue, and most dog owners will comply to be able to have that privilege. Start now. Why wait? There's really no reason to wait on this. It's easy to implement. It would be an easy gift to residents and visitors. Last sentence. If for some reason you feel like you need to spend on making a decision, consider forming a committee, taking a poll, learning what the residents want here for this. Because okay. I think it's important for all of the reasons I just said. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. If you would like to leave a copy of that with Mandy, then we'll give us a chance to take a look through it.
It's a short President and Law Merchant.
Thank you. The second individual is Ms. Deaton.
Hi, my name is Rita Deaton. I live at 749 Sutler's Lane. I'm here about dogs also. I want to know how we got to where we are today and what were the concerns that made us a dog, non-friendly dog beach. And the second thing is to go back and consider, much like Carolina Beach does, where they can have dogs on a leash on the beach after 5 and before 9. To me, it's something very simple, and it seems we're spending a lot of time on it. And again, I'm not sure how we got to where we are.
Thank you. Next would be Ms. Valois, Valo, V-A. How do you say it?
Valois.
Okay.
The Valois is the correct French.
All right.
Hi, my name is Dawn Valois. I live at 437 4th Avenue South. And I'm afraid I'm going to start at this dog thing, which is what I'm going to talk about. I'm asking the council on behalf of petition signers to consider a change to our current Dogs on Beach Municipal Code. And I've been warned that this is a tough sell, so I ask above all else for open minds and thorough consideration. I propose a change from the ordinance's 6-month ban of dogs on the beach to allowing early and late hours that leash dogs can be on the beach. For example, dogs could be allowed until 9 a.m. and then again at 5 or 6 p.m. during the season. Arguments against dogs on the beach center around worries that owners will not pick up after their dogs, dogs will disrupt wildlife, dogs will be a nuisance to people. But the idea is not to allow dogs a day at the beach frolicking among the crowds, but rather to allow dog owners to include the beach in their routine walks, if done in the morning and evening hours when the beach is not crowded. Owners are already required by law to have their dogs under control, on leash, and to pick up and dispose properly of waste when off their own property. Some people break these rules, just as some people drive over the speed limit. Some people sneak alcohol on the beach, but the problems are very minimal. There's no reason to assume residents will be less responsible in the summer. Got a little bit of a different take than the other gentleman. If we're worried about the visitors, maybe this is a resident-only privilege. Enforcement of a change would be no more difficult than enforcing any of the town's existing rules. Being forbidden from including the beach on daily walks for half of the year feels excessively and unnecessarily restrictive. For comparison, many people enjoy surf fishing. Are their lines a nuisance in crowds? Some say so. Do they ever leave cigarette butts or fishing line behind, materials that can take decades or centuries to biodegrade? Some do. Do we think a 6-month fishing ban during the season is warranted? Or would that be excessively and unnecessarily restrictive? I think so. Completely banning dogs on the beach for half of every year rather than just limiting your hours is excessively and unnecessarily restrictive to dog-owning residents who value their beach walks as much as the fishermen value their pastime. Trey Beach is one of only 2 beach towns in the region with this restriction. Every Brunswick County beach allows at least limited dog hours. So does Myrtle Beach, the beaches of Pender County and Carteret County. Carolina Beach allows them before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m. during beach season. Wrightsville Beach is the only other beach with as restrictive of an ordinance, but they also ban smoking. Consistency with Carolina Beach is the simplest idea, but there's many other options when considering a less restrictive change. It could be limited to a couple of early morning, evening hours. Perhaps it's for residents only. Maybe we have to buy a permit, like fishermen do. We could shorten the band season to Memorial Day through Labor Day and have our limited morning and evening hours in April, May, September. That will be less popular, but at least it's half of the restriction. So please consider it. Do a survey, take a vote, whatever you think is good, whatever the outcome. I definitely think it's time to take another careful look at this with a fresh perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have written comments? Oh, maybe you could send that. Could you send it to Mandy?
Yes. Email's fine.
Yes. Email.
Yes, I'll email.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next looks like Ms. Millie.
Lloyd. Thank you, Lloyd.
Let's
see. Sure. I have to follow some of you. Gentlemen, thank you for allowing us to speak on this. My name is Jill Lloyd. Thank you for serving on the town council and for this community to speak and for the opportunity to speak with you. Clearly, you love Curie, and now we do too. I'm sorry I have to read this, but I'm a talker and I'll digress, so I want to stick to my 3 minutes as best I can. First, I'm going to bore you with just a few pertinent facts. I'll go quickly. From the most recent info online, more than a third of Curie Beach residents are seniors. That's included. That's a really important point regarding town accessibility and old knees. Research shows stands much easier on the joints and you can walk longer with less pain. True for me. Only about 40 of the vacation rental properties allow pets. And the crux of this conversation, 12 of the 14 nearby beaches allow dogs for some hours in the summer, and none of them have reversed their decision. Additionally, we can, if you do a quick lit review, you'll see that the literature is complete with how powerful and healthy it is mentally and physically to be a dog owner. Good community members make for a good community. Now from my heart, we have loved walking our beloved homes for the past 6 months on the beach. We've made tons of friends while on the beach because of him. Dog owners are Curie's best welcoming partner to the community. I think we've met maybe two people that we haven't met on the beach, and one of them is Mr. Ellen. Is that correct? I don't have my glasses on. Because you've been friendly and speaking to my husband, Chuck. Suddenly, and we knew it was coming, we can no longer go on our beach for the next 6 months. Knowing it was coming and actually experiencing it have turned out to be two very different things, as you probably know from your own life experience. Corny as it sounds, a cloud has come over the beach. If you're not a dog lover, I hope you'll be generous in spirit and try to scratch your head and understand. If you're a dog lover, I hope I'm speaking your language. We have not stepped foot on the beach in front of our house since March 31st. Of course we can, but it now feels awful, and the joy is gone. This is something we did with our family, which includes our dog. I apologize, it's not a perfect analogy, but give me a bit of leeway. It's as if you were suddenly told you could no longer take your kids or grandkids to the beach with you for the next 6 months. That's when I scratch my head, and I say, why not? So here's what's happening for us. Repeatedly over the past month. Last Friday, a gorgeous beach day, we're looking at Curie Beach, barely a handful of people out front, but we pack up the car, the dog, the cabana, the chairs, etc. We schlep our way to Port Fisher, climb through the rocks, and sit jam-packed. It's a beautiful beach, but we have bought and paid to live in Curie Beach. Yesterday, same experience. We're sitting on the porch, dying to go for a walk, and I just couldn't once again pack up everything and schlep down there. I'm too old for this, and I can't do this for 6 months. I live in Curie Beach now. I know I haven't been here for long, but we intend to be really good community members. So we are asking, please allow dogs limited access to the beach. I'd love to see April and September included. The beach is, we've been here long enough to know that there's not as much beach traffic at that time. Give it a try. And my suggestions aren't nearly not as eloquent as the others suggested, but here are a few just to make it successful. More dog cleanup stations at the end of the crossovers on the beach side. You've been very generous with them near the beautiful pavilion. Find the heck out of those guys that don't follow the rules. In closing, I sort of feel like what others might do is impacting my privileges as a resident of Curie Beach. Here's my best analogy. In first grade, I went to Catholic school with nuns. If any of you all went to Catholic school, you know that the nuns were terrifying. I always wondered what was underneath that black habit. And I prayed for the wind to blow it up so I could see if they had hair. If one kid broke a rule, we all suffered. We all missed recess. We sat in our darkened classroom for 20 minutes, not talking, head on the desk, and you didn't lift it because they had a wooden ruler. I'm certainly not saying that we are now being punished, but we are impacted by what others might do. It doesn't feel good, I didn't understand it in first grade, and I don't understand it now. Please take this under consideration. I neglected to give you my address, I apologize. We're staying at 301 Atlantic Avenue, the Curie Cottage, and we're building behind it at 110 M Avenue. So, but thank you very much for your time.
You could leave that, ma'am, if you wish.
Can we keep your comments for the minute?
Can I email it?
Yes, let me email it.
Okay. Forgive me, I'm not very good at reading some handwritings, but I think this is Charles. Okay. You'll have to tell us what it is, Charles, because I just can't seem to read it.
I can't either, so there you go. He'll tell.
Ah, okay.
Hello. Thank you to the council for letting me speak. My name is Charles Newell, and I hopefully will be residing with John Batson's approval at 110 M Avenue sometime in the near future. We'll see. Everybody who spoke before me was great. They had good ideas, and I support all of the thoughts and ideas that were presented. I'm just going to make a more emotional appeal. I moved to Curie Beach because I love the community, the climate, and everyone I have met here so far. Most of the folks I know because of their dogs, Sawyer, Emma, Dylan, Kirby, Junior, Clarence, Riley, others. It used to be the highlight of our thrice daily walks with Holmes to encounter his buddies on the beach where everyone remains leashed. Sadly, I now have to explain to Holmes that he has been banned from the beach every time we go out. And his English comprehension is poor, similar to a one-year-old. So everything I tell him, almost everything I tell him, is misconstrued. And he thinks I'm just being mean. I've not been on the beach since March 31st because I can't leave my energetic dog locked in the house while I go for a walk by myself. We both lose there. I think it reasonable to allow early morning and evening hours access for dogs during the summer months. I've seen this work well on other North Carolina beaches with little or no impact to the quality of the beach experience for others. I ask that the town consider making changes to the no dogs allowed rule and allow a little bit of enjoyment for a considerable number of our community members. And as an aside, Holmes has an added benefit of eating every single napkin and piece of paper he sees on the walk, so that would technically improve the beach somewhat.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Very good.
And we have Mr. Brian Platt.
Hi, my name is Brian Platt. I live in 813 Catch Court. I'm a recent resident, and I'm here for the same reason, to allow a dog on the beach. To me, it's a win-win. It's good for business, it's good for public health, I think it's good for the community. I know a lot of you through our dogs. You probably know Sawyer. And you know, I haven't really, like, now that I think about it, I have not gone to Curie Beach at all since I've not been able to with Sawyer. We used to go get our pop cups every day at the coffee shop, and we just don't do that anymore. So I'd love to be able to do that again. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if any of you have something that you wish to provide to Mandy so that we can read it and ponder it, feel free to do that. You can always approach us with your opinion. We're here to service you. It doesn't always feel like that, but we do represent 2,200 people. So, okay, let's move on to presentations. And this would be the Power Squadron presentation. Please.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Jerry Hall, and I'm part of the Cape Fear Settlement Housewarming, which is part of District 27, which is basically the state of North Carolina. And I'm here tonight to express our appreciation for the town doing this proclamation, drawing attention to Safe Voting Week that's coming up. For those of us who are in the business of trying to educate voters and make voting safer, drawing attention to the fatalities and so forth that's going on helps us bring in customers. I think it's telling. If you read this, they're talking about 80% of the boating-related accidents, 80% of the deaths are caused by drowning. And the Coast Guard believes that 86% of drowning cases, the victim was not wearing a life jacket. So if we could save 86% of the fatalities just by putting on a life jacket, what would we want to do? Life jackets now have been re-engineered. This is an old one, but as you can see, like a set of suspenders. And it's easy to move around with these, but they're not hot. And this particular one, you have to hold this cord, which I won't do. If they have a mask, it's automatic. If you happen to fall overboard and hit your head, so you're unconscious, it'll inflate by itself and roll you over so you're facing up. Basically saves your life, even if you're unconscious. I just add one other point. In New Adam County, we have a lot of resources for safe voting. We have the Cape Fear Settlement Power Squadron. We're about 160 members. We do vessel safety checks. We teach safe voting courses. If you buy a new boat and not sure how to operate it, we can pair you up with someone who has a boat like that who will spend some time with you to make you feel more comfortable operating your own boat. Probably you don't like to learn the way I did, of banging a lot of pilings and docks and so forth. Us, along with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, they have several units here as well. So if you want to get a vessel safety check, and that's performed by people who've been certified by the U.S. Coast Guard to do this, no cost and with no repercussions to the boat owner, we simply want you to understand the value of the safety equipment that's on your boat and to understand how to use them and why they're required to be there. So if you want to get one of those, we're happy to do it. It's free. You can go online to Cape Fear Settlement Power Squadron, to the U.S. Coast Guard, and you can request one. We'll meet you at your boat or at your house or wherever to get that done, because it's a way for us to have a conversation with the owner or the captain about safe boating practices and so forth.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen of the council, we have year upon year approved this. It's just, I believe, a wise thing to do. If I would accept a motion to adopt the proclamation, and then I would be happy to sign it.
I'll make a motion that we adopt proclamation P22-02 dealing with support for the National Safe Boating Week.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you very much. We will sign this. Okay, moving on to committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Committee.
I've got a couple things from Mo. She's out of town today.
Okay.
Since our last meeting, we had held our bike... our traffic garden for bicyclists a couple weeks ago. We had 28 kids and 30 volunteers. We also had the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation and the Cape Fear Cyclists were involved. They were very impressed. This is our first known traffic garden for, it differs a little bit from a bicycle rodeo because we talk about, we have pedestrians and animals and all kind of stuff. And so the kids really had a good time. Shoreline Bikes donated a raffle, some bikes for raffle. We had 25 helmets given away. And then donation from Tony Schiavone brought some bikes for kids that didn't have bikes. So we had a really good day. And we had the volunteers were people just from the community that our committee brought in. So, and it was a good day. We had a lot of fun, and all that went well. And so we're looking at ways to improve it. Hopefully, not try to fight Azalea Festival and soccer and other things on the Saturday, but maybe do it later in the year or something. So that went real well. And then later on the next week, we had the North Carolina representative for the East Coast Greenway that actually travels through Curie Beach, Andrew Meeker. He's a new director for North Carolina, and he's getting out and seeing parts of the state. And he's very impressed with our little town and what we're doing here. So,
okay, good. Anything else?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Board of Adjustments, is Mr. John McMaines here? Mr. McMaines, could you come up front a little bit for us, please?
Is it on here?
Yeah, that's fine. I would just say that I read your application, and I understand you're a CEO of a company, a technologies company. I understand you're an engineer by nature. So you lead people. And you have a scientific process, I suppose, that you live to. Looking at your application, I really don't have any further questions of you, but I would ask if council does.
Starting here, no, I don't have any further questions. I think someone with John's background is well qualified.
Mr. McMahon, so Board of Adjustment, can you just... I see what you said the purpose of the committee was. So just tell me in general what you think that committee does, what you're looking at, and then how you'd approach questions of, I don't like what the town's ordinance says, I want to do something different.
Sure. I will admit that what you're reading was because of COVID, probably 2 years ago I wrote that.
But, yes, 2021. I noticed that, August 2021, so yes, sir.
But, right, basically, I see the role as kind of that intermediary where if there is an issue with a building permit or zoning, et cetera, that's kind of that next step, kind of that quasi-judicial step in between going to a full-blown court type scenario. I'm trying to save the gym some time and perhaps the town some money and come to some common agreement with whatever is happening. But I have lived here, as I've written there, now this is my seventh year here, and if you're looking for someone that loves Curie Beach just the way it is, that's me.
Right.
My wife and I, when we came down here, we looked at real estate in Carolina Beach, and the second house we looked at, the realtor said, you really should be looking at Curie Beach. You people, we can see the kind of background you have, and so I believe in... I'm okay with changes, dog ordinances and things like that, but at the same time, the flavor and the feel of Curie Beach, I think you've done an amazing job, and that's what we love about it. We love that it's a bedroom community, and we love that everybody takes care of each other, and you meet people on the beach, and any kind of thing that would pop up before me, I would take that into serious consideration of keeping the wonderful community that we have just as it is.
So. Good. I mean, that's why I'm asking, right? So the building inspector's back there, but he can tell you that variances to our ordinances, there are very few. If we talk to other communities, it's a lot different. So the approaches are very different. And for our citizens, I think we have 4 variances now. I think that's right. So for all of our ordinances right now, properties in town that have variances that were approved not done on the side, right? But actually approved, I think there's four, right? And the expectation is when those properties turn over, they'll come in compliance. And so, at least as a commissioner, from my standpoint, I just want to make sure the Board of Adjustments have a very similar philosophy. At least I think that's what the citizens want, which is, you know, it's very rare for the Board of Adjustments to say, yes, here's a, yeah, we approve variances. And in other towns, other Boards of Adjustments have a very different view of that, and that's why I'm asking. So thank you. That's all I have. Yes, sir.
Any questions?
Yeah, David went first, so he got my question.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right.
John?
Dennis.
No. Okay. Gentlemen, so we have a candidate here before, so we have no other questions.
I make a motion we approve John McManus for the Board of Adjustment alternate member.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Welcome.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I look forward to your service.
Good.
Community Center Committee. Well, I will make mention that last, not Easter Sunday, but the Saturday previous, we had an excellent gathering, which at the Community Center. The Community Center, we even gave the Order of the Longleaf Pine to Punky Curie, which is the highest award you can achieve as a citizen in the state of North Carolina. We had students there who told us what Curie Beach would look like in 75 years. That was interesting. We awarded 8 of them certificates out of, how many were there? There were probably 80? Yeah, so the top 8 were really pretty good. Any others were not far behind. They were actually very good. And then we had a panel of older citizens and the, I know David was on that panel, that's what I'm saying, it's older citizens. But we had folks who had lived in Curie Beach all their lives answering questions. So it was a beautiful, beautiful gathering. There was over 100 folks there, and it was quite enjoyable and quite enlightening. And of course, we were able to surprise Punky, and that's not done too often. So Community Center has been alive and well and working on things, thanks to Nikki's direction. Historical Preservation Commission.
The chairman sent us an email and said that he didn't have an opinion.
Oh, that's right. He did. That's right.
For land use as well.
Galbraith, right, and for land use.
Question about land use. Are we meeting with PNC next month?
When no, it's just planning and zoning.
So the land use committee is not, we don't need to be there.
No, they're okay. Just arguing.
Okay, no problem. I just want to make sure it wasn't something we were supposed to be in attendance.
For the individuals listening, land use plan is being updated after probably about 12 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. To reflect what 960 some people have told us is important to them when we did the survey. So it is being updated, and you can read all 8 or 9 chapters once it's published.
Just want to mention, Planning and Zoning will review it on May 4th, discuss it, pass on its recommendations to you. Of course, that's an open meeting if anybody's interested.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor. Marketing Committee.
None of the Marketing Committee representatives are here, but... they've been busy. Mr. Dirks, who actually spoke on behalf of the dogs, is a very active member of that, and I was hoping he would stay. But they've been busy. They're trying to set up a joint meeting with the Carolina Beach Marketing Committee. We've got that on the plans, but schedules have not allowed that to happen yet. But that's probably the biggest thing coming up is for the two town marketing committees to get together and meet each other and talk about goals and objectives for this year.
Okay, that's important. A marketing committee determines how we spend the ROT portion of the money that we must spend by law for advertising our town. So that's what John was speaking about there, coordinating that with Carolina Beach. Parking committee. Well, as you all know, parking has started. I hope you've all registered your vehicles. If you have not registered your vehicles, you are subject to possibly getting a ticket. So I would encourage you to go ahead and register your vehicles for the $20. We're off to a great start. We're ahead of last year. The revenue is around $100,000 for the first month, and this is a slow month, so it looks like we're on a path. And Jeff, thanks for your help in putting it up. It looks like we're on a good path to have another busy year, which will generate money that will help pay for all the things that are necessary for our guests. So,
just Mandy, any issues for people registering? Does that seem to be a little smoother this year?
It is. We held the open houses, which were great. They started off a little bit slow, but we started really early hosting them. I think we had a total of 5 open houses between the mornings, the afternoons, and the evening sessions. And they went well. We had a lot of business owners come in, or we had a few business owners come in with their staff information, so they were able to do it. So I think those were helpful, and we're going to continue to do those next year as well. Other than just your general technical issues that, you know, other than that, it's going fine. But Meredith works all day, every day, and people are in here. They come, they go, they call with questions, and so it seems to be going pretty smooth.
Good, thanks.
If any of you are having technical issues, you can contact Town Hall, and they will help you get it done. That's what the open houses were for, but not everybody hits all the open houses, so you don't have to stand out there with an unregistered car and worry about taking your car downtown before 5 o'clock. Planning and Zoning Commission, we don't have anything there either from Craig.
No, sir.
Council, we have nothing from Planning and Zoning, do we?
Just the land use plan.
All right. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection. Do you have anything to add, Commissioner Panicali?
Yeah, thanks. So as I stepped off as chair of that committee, we have new chair and co-chair, Ann Hughes and Pat Triplett have taken on that responsibility.
Okay, great. Very good. Stormwater Committee?
Nothing new. We did not meet last month. We're still awaiting the state of North Carolina's approval of our permit, and we are working with the town attorney as far as to approve permit changes for HOA. So the Cove has requested the town to transfer their permit from the developer to the HOA.
Oh.
The permit was issued by the state, but the state is now said that the town's responsible to do that, and so we're working out those issues, and we hope to get that done this month. And Jimmy's not here today. He had a family medical issue, so he'd be updating us instead.
Okay. All right, moving on to department head business, administration. Mandy?
My request last month that you guys wanted in writing was to eliminate audio for public sessions such as legislative hearings, public hearings, workshops, retreats, and that kind of thing. And that is because our audio in this room is not designed to support all the chatter. We were not in COVID when we built this building, and had we known it was coming, I would have done the audio totally different. As it stands, it's going to be several thousand dollars to change it. But when we're having a regular meeting like this, and I think everybody experienced it more during COVID, is when you call them on the phone systems, everyone's trying to talk, but you can't tell who's going to talk, and so you're speaking over each other and things like that. So it's not always a pleasant experience for the caller or for council trying to, you know, wade through the comments and get everyone heard and understood. And then sometimes there's feedback and dogs barking and babies crying and the news is on, and, you know, it doesn't bode well when we're in an interactive situation such as a workshop. So in a regular meeting like this, as long as you're coming to the microphone, you can be heard clearly. A lot of times what I'm running into is when I have someone presenting and I'm giving them the microphone, and they're holding it behind their back when they're talking and it's not picking up or, you know, things like that. So I spend our public information sessions, our retreats, our budget meetings, our workshops, and all those interactive meetings, fielding emails and texts from residents. I'm sorry you can't hear. Let me move the, you know, so I know y'all see me get up during meetings and move this closer, that closer, or adjust this and adjust that, because people can't hear. And I feel like we are more open now, and I feel like during those sessions, I mean, we're open. I want people back in our building. I want people here participating so they can hear and they can, because some of our meetings are, like, the workshops have been in groups. We've literally pulled round tables in here, and you cannot, even when I try to record those meetings and put them on the website, you can't hear when you go back to listen to them. It's just a bunch of chatter. You might hear one person pipe up or another person pipe up, but it's just not clear. So that's my ask or my request, is that any kind of like workshop or session such as that, where there is that much interaction, that we stop audio for those over the phone or the meetings link. But if I do receive, and when we make the advertisements for those meetings, we'll put on there a statement, if we receive a special request for an accommodation, then we will do that and we'll handle that within X amount of days of whatever council was to determine would be fair, to get that arranged so that that person can attend virtually.
Okay. I noticed here on committee meetings, you wanted to do that also for committee meetings?
Commissioner Mayor Pro Tem Oliver mentioned that during committees. Our committees are supposed to, all of our committees are open meetings as well.
Mm-hmm.
And our committees are supposed to start the Zoom link or the Teams link, whichever one they're using when they start. Problems that I'm running into with that is that they may forget to start it, or they'll start it and then no one's monitoring it, so they're not admitting anyone that comes in after the meeting starts. But at the same time, it's been handy for committees to use, for the members to participate. We have some committees mm-hmm. that members have not shown up in the building at all because they participated virtually. So I think if we're going to allow that, we have to allow a public call in for those, because there may not be someone here to admit them into the building because mm-hmm. they meet after hours.
One comment, participation by a board, by a public body member remotely is only going to be good for so long as it leaves the
state of emergency.
Right. Once that's lifted, that remote participation is not offered.
Is that for all committees?
That's for open meetings.
Period. For all
open
meetings.
Okay. All open meetings. Okay.
That's good.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Counselor. That's an important piece of information there.
So we can't, like when David's out of town, he can't call in for a meeting, Jim?
We do have a remote participation policy written and at least for HPC and PCC. I assume we've got it for
California. But they're non-voting. When they're not in attendance,
right,
they don't vote.
There's certain requirements, certain elements, certain conditions that are not present during the state of emergency, so it's more tightly controlled.
Okay.
But yeah, you can have it. It's not as open as it is right now.
It's very open now because of COVID.
Yeah, I'll try to modify my work schedule before that.
I mean, again, people are, our building's open. Our citizens can come to the meetings. They're attending, they're coming in person now, and we do put the recordings on the website after the meeting's over with, so they have an ability to listen to what we're doing.
No.
We're not putting.
Are you talking meetings or are you talking committees?
No, I'm talking about meetings.
Regular meetings.
Okay. Yes. No, we're not recording our meeting, our committee meetings, but the people can come to the meetings, and we've had people come into our committee meetings, even though we're still doing Zoom on them also.
Well, the notes are published.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the minutes are published.
Right.
too, so.
So, okay, I don't.
At this point in COVID, I will say there's going to have to be a lot of adjustments made for committees to go off using remote participation. So I'm only asking for public information workshop sessions. I want to continue it for regular meetings. I'm fine with that. But just like Commissioner Hegler was saying, I mean, he's going to have to adjust his whole schedule for his committee. So we would really need to allow the committee's time to make the changes.
You're going to give the committees that opportunity to decide if they want to do it?
You
go ahead.
Y'all can decide the issue that's before you right now, but if council would like, I can go ahead. We've either got it in a policy that needs to be rewritten. I know we've got it for specific bodies like HPC and DZC, but if council would like, we can establish a written policy for council and committees and remote participation.
I think that would be a good idea, because I think it could be at the discretion of the chairman of the particular meeting, and I definitely want the ability for these traveling members of council to be able to call in and participate.
Not to put Beth on the spot, I think we just got DZC and HPC. Is that your recollection as well?
I think it is too, just with the exception of COVID, we have that.
Yeah.
And we're worried too, as long as we're going to just take it from her.
It's just in our declaration right now.
Yeah. Are you good with my suggestion?
I am. I just think it needs to be across the board for committees.
Yeah.
And it needs to be like, if you're not, like if you're traveling, someone from your committee needs to be here to open the door.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to offer the remote participation and the in person.
For example, under HPC and DZC, where we have more control, you have to have the physically present quorum.
Right.
So there is considerations like that. Before COVID, when we had these policies for HPC, DZC, they worked pretty well. They're controlled, and COVID lifted everything up. But again, I don't think we addressed this issue control-wise with council and committees. I think it's just HPC and DZC, so it'd be no problem to develop a written policy for all the public bodies, boards, commissions, and committees.
Okay, gentlemen, do we have consensus to have Jim take a look at this?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so.
Al?
Yes, absolutely.
And then, do you need a vote to change it?
All right. So,
the other part that you're asking for?
I got a question, Mandy. So, any council meeting, are you talking about all our council meetings will be just ones where we have public comments and stuff?
Where we're doing a workshop, a public hearing, our legislative hearings, our public hearing for our budget approval coming up. I want people to come into this building and tell us what they think.
So why don't we just do all our public?
You know what I mean, as far as, because they can't always get through. So I feel like I'm doing a disservice to our citizens.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. I just want to make sure I understand what you're...
So what she left was a regular council meeting.
And why don't we do it for regular council meetings?
Yeah.
And committees for now until he gets a policy together.
Right.
Okay. I don't have a problem with the way it's written, and I would like Jim to take a look at it. I think we have consensus to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dennis,
yes.
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 Okay. David says yes. So if you would, Counselor...
I will, and I'll probably include HPC and DZC in there. So
sure.
When you all approve it, the existing policies will be automatically rescinded.
And we need to be
by operation
okay.
law.
And we need to be consistent to that anyway.
So. Yeah, that's a good point too.
But for those meetings for now that I'm talking about, our information sessions, like your hurricane sessions are coming up, and you know, I want public to participate and be able to hear others that have taken and come in to participate, because a lot of times they can't hear what our citizens are saying, the citizens on the phone.
Well, it's just like, I'm going to use tonight, for example. We had a lot of public comment tonight.
And they all came to
and all came here, and we knew exactly, we understood where they lived, what their names were. I mean, you know what it's been like. It's been hard getting those details out of the public when it's over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a better way of doing business.
And I want to reiterate, when we advertise for those public hearings sessions that I'm addressing, that I'm talking about, we will say, if you need a special accommodation, please contact the town clerk, and we'll get it in there.
Right. Okay. Perfect. I think we shot that one.
Okay.
All right. What do you got else? What else do you got?
My next one is, I need a parking consideration for Cary Beach First Baptist Church. So they're going to have an open house on May 1st from 12 to 2. Their 10:30 service will be celebrating the town's 75th anniversary. And afterwards, they're inviting town officials, residents, guests to their welcome center for refreshments and snacks. And they're having a book signing by the author of the book about Cary Beach, and hope to display some historical information and things like that. They're also presenting a banner, I believe. So they are asking for an extension of the free parking that day until 3 o'clock.
So they want to go from 1 to 3?
They want to go from...
Well, I mean, from they're just adding from 1 to 3.
3:30? 10:30 to
3. Oh, well, 10:30 to 1 is normal.
Right.
Right. It's for Sundays, so... Okay, gentlemen, I don't have a particular problem with that.
I don't have a problem. I'd make a motion we approve their main decision.
So are we approving it just in that area, or are we approving it?
Yes, just in that area.
No, just on 6th in front of the church.
Okay.
I'll second 7th. That motion.
No, 6th.
Second his motion.
So, okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. If you would notify the pastor?
I will.
Thank you.
Are y'all planning on attending Sunday?
I will be out of town.
I'm going to try to attend.
I'm going to try to attend. I'll probably just get there at 12. But,
Yeah, I'm out of town as well.
Okay. Building Inspections Department, John.
Kind of quick update on Beach Nourishment. I sent you guys an email last week. We meet tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock to get the next update. But right now they're scheduled on as completing by May 15th. File for an extension with Fish and Wildlife because three new faults are their own. They're just not ready to have it done by the 30th. And so, Rob, like I said, they're scheduled to be done by May 15th. Expect a 7 to 10 working days of breaking everything down and getting completely off the beach. And then after that, we'll have some of the beach planting going on, but that's mainly on the south side of the beach. So, right now, pretty days, they're moving around 50 to 70,000 cubic yards per day. So they're right just north of the pier right now. So they're moving along pretty well.
Yeah, I was watching today. They're pretty close to having the pier. They're down to the pier at one on the upper end of the beach. Lower end of the beach are pretty close. So.
Correct.
One other thing, they're also... We'll be back, in November to plant some, was it?
There's two different kinds of seagrasses they're planting.
Yeah.
So they'll be back doing that in November also.
One is, this is the time to plant one of them, and the other is dormant in the winter, and that's the time to plant that one.
Okay.
And then, just so everybody knows that we do have that link on the website for anybody that wishes to check it out and see the daily advancements that they're making.
Okay.
At the top of the page, you know.
And the surf channel too now is, since you can go to our camera and see that, you can see the work being done that one.
Yep. Update on the lifeguard station, the pilings are in, the roof has been constructed, and we actually poured the slab today. Framers will be back tomorrow starting on the walls. I'm trying to schedule the roofer right now, and painter and the electrician. Hopefully next month we'll be able to tell you that the lifeguards moved in.
Gotcha.
Everything is going pretty well.
Yeah, you're moving right along.
Yep.
Good work, John.
And then lastly, town attorney is going to Mayo on Thursday for the variance request for beach mats. I don't think I'll attend if that's okay with you guys, because I have to be back up there on Sunday. So I don't think there's any need for me to be there, but I think the attorney's planning on.
DCM's staff position is identical to the position we took in the request, so it's reasonable to think that we've got a good chance of getting the variance, and And there are stipulated facts and stipulated exhibits. If something comes up, I'm sure it's going to be covered in there. So John and I discussed it today. I don't think he needs to take that trip.
Okay.
It's 5 hours one way to Mania.
All right.
Yes, it is.
That's all I have. Unless you guys have questions for me.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent job.
Thanks, John. Finance Department, Karen, got anything for us today?
Just one quick update from Arland. He wanted you to know that we have submitted our American Rescue Plan project and expenditure report. He said that on the 20th, on April 20th.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
So we're good to go then. Excellent. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Is he going to be back next Monday? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see if we let him in. Fire department.
I have nothing in department head business.
Okay.
I have nothing in new business.
Okay. A lot of rescuing going on, though. I was looking at your pie chart. When I say rescue, I mean emergency support in a community. Police department.
Nothing, sir.
Okay, chief. Thank you. Public Works Department. Anything from?
Yeah, so Jimmy's not here. One thing, we did get our final permit on the sewer lagoon at the end of H Avenue. So we've got our final permit, which is good. No changes to any of the monitoring requirements. So
good, excellent.
We got that this week.
All right. Recreation Department.
Good evening. Just a few quick updates. So the 75th anniversary celebration culminates this weekend with the Big Band Bash Friday night and Street Festival on Saturday. And then the Boogie in the Park concerts start Sunday, so it's going to be a busy weekend. But I wanted to give you guys a heads up. This is not a request yet, but we did hear from a new film project today. And their proposed date is prior to the next council meeting. So they're doing their technical scout tomorrow, and I expect more details later this week on what the request is.
Okay.
The two filmings, it's Hightown Series 3, which they filmed here in the past for the previous seasons. Both of the scenes are currently private property, but there will be public property impacts surrounding those scenes. So as soon as I get those details, I'll send them over. But just wanted to give you a heads up that that was coming up.
Okay, great.
It's Wednesday, May 18th.
Yep. What time does the big band sound start on Saturday night?
Friday night.
A Friday night? What time?
7 to 9.
7 to 9.
Correct. Okay. And we're encouraging folks to dress from the 40s, 50s era, too. So.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Y'all may want to think about that. That'll be fun.
Well, I wasn't born then.
You remember the tunes. Your dad danced to it. Okay. Old business. There's no old business identified. New business. Schedule the public hurricane information sessions. Commissioner Hagler.
Yes, sir. So I'm looking at the calendar for May and just asking staff and council, does Friday the 20th at 5 p.m. and Saturday the 21st at noon for staff. Mandy, I don't see anything on the calendar that's posted, so that's what I'm looking at.
So give me the two dates again, May the what?
May the 20th is a Friday, and the 21st is a Saturday.
Yeah, that should be fine.
I'm Mandy, there's the carpet cleaning.
Oh, yeah, you're
see,
right.
That's why you asked staff, right?
Yeah. And I see on the calendar now.
I know.
I'm looking for other events.
It was going for events.
So you.
That wouldn't be a
so yes. So we're not really allowing anyone into the building because the carpet's got to dry.
Okay, that's fine. So that's fine.
So you can't do it.
I can do it the following week, the 27th, the 28th.
Is that a holiday weekend?
It's Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend.
What about the community center?
Yeah, you could do that's community center.
She's looking. Well, she's got to look at this rentals. That's why I asked staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not listed on here, but I believe I can go check in my office.
If you want to check. So is that Saturday you're doing it so I could do it Friday night here and then Saturday at the community center?
I think they'll
be setting up, I think.
Friday night to do it, right?
So, Chief, could I do it at the fire department?
Sure.
So I could do it at the fire department. And we have a big training room that...
And we won't have the pump.
Yeah, forget about that.
We won't have what?
We
We're not going to be using the phone system. It's an information session. So yeah. He's good to go. He can show up and do his whole.
Do we want to videotape it and post? No? Okay.
We got last year's video and it's still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Nothing pertinent has changed.
No. Okay. So then at the firehouse, Friday, 5 p.m., the 20th. Chief, I'm looking at you to shake your head. Yep. And Saturday at noon, the 21st. And I need to put signs on the door probably so people go to the right place. Okay.
Nikki just got her calendar.
Community center's available. People.
We're going to use
the firehouse. That's fine.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Council requests consensus that's the two dates, but that's when I propose them.
Do we need a motion on that?
I don't think so.
Just consensus. Everybody agree? Yeah, consensus, yeah. John?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Dennis?
Yeah.
All right, we have consensus for those dates. We'll advertise. Yes.
So it'll go out multiple times.
Yep. We need to encourage folks to come because there's a lot of good data there. Save their lives. Carolina Beach Sewer Authority update. How'd you do for us, Mr. Hagler?
We did good. So in there's a memo, and I'll read the actual motion that we have to adopt. So Commissioner Oliver and I met with, as the two members of Curie Beach and the Regional Sewer Authority, which is basically the plant that operates on Dow Road for the citizens, and that plant services both Curie and Carolina Beach. We own about 26% of the capacity of that plant, and the way that plant's paid for is by your sewer rates. And every year, one of the things that the sewer board does is set the rates for sewage, and it's based off the previous year's actual cost. So we're always in the rears. And so there have been years where we've owed Carolina Beach, and there's years where they've owed us. This year is one of those years where they owe us. And so under the new rates, we go back and retro the previous year's payments. And so this year, Carolina Beach will be writing us a check for $45,577.37 after the renewals. And really the key driver of that is Curie Beach controlling two parts of our cost. One is infiltration during rain events into the sewer system, because then that increases our gallonage, which then drives fixed and variable cost. And then the second part is the crossover valve that we added 3 years ago so that we could route more of our sewage to our lagoon and less to Carolina Beach. So basically, Public Works has filled up our lagoon, and filled up's not the right word, but used our capacity that we own, which is cheaper for us than paying Carolina Beach's sewage treatment plant, just because of the way the two plants operate. Any questions so far?
No.
Before I'll make a motion for council. And the memo has all this, and it's in the packet, so you're welcome to look at the actual memo to us from the finance officer. So make a motion that Curie Beach Town Board accept the new variable cost rate of $89.64 per 1,000 gallons for variable cost, and fixed cost of $10,052.61 per month, and a capital recovery cost of $1,813.70 per month as the new rates for fiscal year 2023.
Second.
Okay, any other questions for the rates? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, David.
Thank
good
you.
Work.
Thank you.
It's always good to get a check back.
Some years are better than others, right?
Yeah. Request to apply for encroachment agreements. Mr. Oliver.
The couple members of the Bike Pedestrian Committee, along with Adrian Harrington, who is wrote our grant for the interchange improvements. We met with some of the members of NCDOT, some of the traffic engineers, very productive meeting. We found out that, as Chief Bowden found out when he wanted to do his speed limit signs, that we have to do encroachment agreements for any improvements. It basically states we are responsible for any improvements that we make, whether crosswalks, interchange improvements, and that type of stuff. So right now we have three areas that we need to get moving on of doing agreements. One is Highway 421 and M Avenue for our flashing crosswalk signal. That's at the post office. And in on the memo I sent y'all, it talked about some of the what NCDOT told us about each one of those is in bold print. Highway 421 and K Avenue, which is the interchange improvements, we found out that we would have to do, even though we had a federal grant to do the work, we have to have an encroachment agreement, so we might as well get started on that also. And then also the last one is a crosswalk, a painted crosswalk at the Ocean Dunes. I've been working with Jeff and the Ocean Dunes HOA. They have concerns about safety of crossing in their area, and it would be at Surf Rider Court. That's the area that crosses over to their indoor facilities and their visitors and residents that live across the street. That's where the most of them travel. The improvements or the crosswalks, there is a policy that was also included in this memo that states about the what NCDOT does for beach communities. They have a separate guideline for beach communities and crosswalks. So I'm just asking your permission to go ahead and move forward with these encroachment agreements, and then we'll come back with cost estimates and that stuff once we get the agreements with NCDOT. They may turn us down. We don't know, but I don't think they will.
Okay. Any questions?
Chief, have you heard from yours on your speed limit signs?
It's been turned in. Just waiting on the right people from the DOT to give us the approval. They'll come down and meet with me and the public works and we'll have them put up.
Chief had to do the same thing for those solar speed limit signs that we approved. Solar, this is just getting ahead before we order anything.
Okay. So we have consensus for them to proceed?
Yeah, I do. Yes, totally.
Dennis, you agree to proceed with that?
I'm just trying to understand. This would require removal of parking spaces on Fort Fisher Boulevard?
On that one area. It's about 5 feet, which will basically take out one parking place. It's a visual. It's a visual thing on the east side north of M Avenue. And we don't really know, and Chuck is here. You're building the house right there, aren't you? So if that next house gets built, we may get a request to do away with those parking spaces right there anyway. So
it's just the one or two parking
spaces. Yeah, one parking space right there. But it's to get a crosswalk. And they give us some really good pointers. It's a very good meeting with NCDOT to talk about what they – and they sent us a lot of information back also that helps us look into other improvements we'd like to make. So.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, we'll get to work.
Chief Kennedy, discussion of fire department joining the Houston-Galveston Area Council.
Thank you, Council. I sent an email to Council regarding becoming a member of the HGAC as we move forward with the specification of a new fire engine. I believe everyone sifted through the email, but wanted to discuss it tonight in a little more detail. Essentially, the HGAC leverages buying power of municipalities in order to competitively price large purchases such as fire engines. Public Works can use it for street sweepers or garbage trucks. The police department can use it for any sort of vehicle that they might need to purchase. Currently, all the municipalities within New Hanover County are members of the HGAC. The process is fairly simple. One, we become an end user by designating an individual. I spoke with our finance officer, Arlen Copenhaver, and he felt that it was appropriate. He was also willing to become that particular individual. I don't have a contract in front of us because we have to designate the individual first. So if council does decide that this is something we want to move forward with, you would essentially designate that individual. We'd move forward with filling out the paperwork, and I would assume we would certainly have our town attorney review the contract to make sure it's in the best interest of the town before we submit the final contract to the HVAC.
Is there a cost to join this?
There is no cost to us. Essentially, the way it would work is we would specify the needs of our fire engine. You know, they go into very big detail on tank size, tire size, hose inlets, outlets, that sort of stuff. And then you would competitively price it against vendors. And then I believe there is a fee that they attach, but they essentially the vendor pays it. Ultimately, we end up paying it. It's, I'm going to say it's around $1,500 to $2,000 for a fire engine. Obviously, it would vary based off of the price of the purchase. But that would be something we would look at within the contract as well. There's no obligation within the contract. So if we decided to become an end user and never used it, that would be a problem as well.
Do you anticipate savings?
Certainly.
Can I ask a dumb question, please?
Sure.
Gee, can you give me a hands-on example of how this Texas local government unit, what is it that, if you're going to buy a fire engine, if the town's going to buy a fire engine today, it gets various bids and evaluates those bids and makes a decision, correct?
That's correct.
Tell me how it's different with this local government unit.
So the way that it would work is essentially we would specify the needs of the fire engine, or if the police department was doing something, would specify a particular needs of a vehicle that they might specifically need that meets the requirements of their particular jurisdiction or departmental needs. And then we, of course, have our statutory requirements that we have to abide by as well. The way
in terms of specs or procurement?
Both, that's correct. So there may be a need that we recognize that a particular vendor might not be able to provide. So the HVAC, like I said, it uses the buying power of all the municipalities that are part of it to ensure that you receive the lowest possible price for that specification.
The part that I can't understand, and if everybody's doing it, I'm sure there's not a problem. I'm just trying to get my head around it. Who, if there are applicable procurement requirements, who's responsible for complying with them? The town or this union in Texas?
It would be both. And the HVAC, that's part of the contract, it would ensure that you are meeting those statutory requirements.
So they would kind of monitor, even though they're Texas, they would legally by contract, they would oversee our compliance with any NC requirements?
That's correct. It's a nationwide organization. Although it's in Texas, it's used nationwide. Like I said, every municipality within the county is currently using it. City of Wilmington just received two new fire engines through the HVAC. Carolina Beach is a member. They're currently working on two specs with the HVAC. So that is correct. They oversee the entire process to make sure that you're meeting the statutory requirements for your specification.
So you kind of get an idea of what you want, jump through your procurement requirements, ship them the package, they overlook it and use their leverage to get you the best deal.
That's correct.
And Arlen's comfortable with the whole thing?
Yes, sir. Arlen supports it as well. We went on the website to take a look. You can see all the contracts that have been awarded to ensure that the vendor is giving you the lowest price. And it doesn't require that you use a particular vendor. So, you know, if we designate a particular specification for a fire engine and there's three particular vendors that can use it, then we can be sure that through the HVAC we are receiving that best possible price.
I don't have any further questions. Thanks, Chief.
Okay. Gentlemen, sounds like we have a free collective we can join, that we can use their materials or we don't need to use their materials, depending on what our specifications may be. And I think it's as simple as that. And we need the finance officer to probably step up for that.
Right.
So What guidance do you have for the fire chief?
I mean, I trust the chief and Arlen have done their homework. We proceed, let Jim read the contract.
Yep.
But I think we should proceed with it.
Yeah, I make a motion we designate Arlen as the authorized individual and pursue a contract with HGAC as an entity, and then we'll work with the fire department after the attorney's approval.
I'll second.
All right. Any other questions, counsel?
I'm just assuming we could use this organization as well for, as you said, for the garbage truck that we're considering?
That's correct.
I think so. Okay.
Might give us more buying power. It should help us with our buying.
It should give us a ton of buying power. There's a couple thousand members, I believe.
Yeah. Arlen did say this is good timing, especially with the...
Yeah, it's a collective, power of a collective.
You know, you can always, in North Carolina, you can piggyback bids, but this sounds like even better situation than piggybacking bids.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, guys.
Passes. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Mayor Pro Tem Oliver, purchase of shirts.
Yes, our bike pig committee is doing a lot of public engagement and setting up. They have booths set up at the market this summer, like when we had our event the other week. And we've discussed with the committee buying t-shirt, or the town buying t-shirt or shirts, golf shirts or something with the town logo and the committee name on it. I was hoping to have a cost tonight, but I don't. But the committee had not selected the type of shirts they would like. And then we'll work through Meredith to order them. Just wanted, since any purchase of, from a committee has to go through council approval of funding, just wanting to get your approval for us to go ahead and purchase those shirts. We have no money in the budget to do so.
I just have a couple of quick things. Do we have money in the budget?
Yes.
Okay. Second of all, in doing so for one committee, I'm going to get other requests from other committees.
That's my only concern here.
So
that's 50 shirts.
Yeah, so that number, it grows. It does become around, but it's 50 because we do the cups. You're right. So we're looking at 50 shirts. I was looking at our shirt catalog this week for staff ideas, too. Some of the golf shirts, I mean, you guys have purchased them, so you know what they run. So if you guys are going to approve it tonight, if you will give us a guideline of spending, is what I'm at. Unless they come forward, then I'm going to have to come back to get that amount approved.
Okay, so I meant to get with y'all today, and I didn't get to. So what is a price of a shirt? What, y'all have an idea of something? I haven't bought any shirts recently, so I don't know what a golf shirt runs.
Are these like 25 or 30?
Yeah, 35, somewhere around in there. It depends on if they're that material or a different, you know, the slinky material. I think those
are a little more expensive than those.
Yeah. And then you've got your basic t-shirts versus the golf shirts and the female, and I know the females are looking at a certain shirt and all that kind of stuff too. So it's potentially going to grow from one committee to across the board is my point.
Yeah, but I think committee members change frequently.
Very frequently. Yeah. So
I mean, y'all just give me some guidance and I'll go back to the committee if you want. You know, you just tell me what you. I told them, I said, before we purchase anything, we have to have council's approval. And I'll take it to council.
Okay, I have an opinion on this, but I want to circumvent what other people have. So anybody have an opinion they want to offer?
Can I throw in just one thing that Arlen mentioned before we left? Is that it appears like there's a lot of money in the budget, but we've got, I'm sure you know, some significant things budgeted that we have not paid for yet.
Good job. Channeling Arnold.
Well, we haven't bought our crop. We're not doing all the crosswalks we planned on doing either. So there's several things there. I mean, if it's not a road we want to go down, we'll just have to tell the committee that's what their...
Are the committee members opposed to buying their own?
We've not had that. We've not had that discussion yet.
Now, I mean, they do serve for free. They spend a lot of hours. They spend a lot of time. They spend a lot of time for the community. I am concerned, but all of the volunteers do, which is why we have our volunteer recognition event. But I'm worried that 50 shirts would be expensive, and I don't think I could approve theirs and not approve Beach.
That's fair.
Or the Sewer Authority, or...
I'm just trying to look like if we're going to... I'm not disputing anything or disagreeing with anything. I'm just simply saying I want to come up with a process to do this. If we're going to do it, right, do it across the board, then that's fine. We're happy to do it. We are staff, and that we're here to serve. But I want to do it in a manner that everybody's taken care of. Everybody gets exactly what they wanted, the right sizes and everything like that, without blowing budgets out of the water. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to contain it that way, too. So,
well, look, potentially we could... They may not have the committee name on it, but they may have the town logo. Maybe there's some type of T-shirt we could get through the other site
that says volunteer, right, or something. I mean,
that says volunteer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we purchased the vest for the Beach ambassadors.
Yes, we did. We did do that. And that's
but
true.
But there's something you can... I'm assuming they can share those, or those could be...
Well, and they're probably not going to wear those out. I mean, that's to do the work, right? So that's a different thing, I think. I don't know which way I think about it, actually, right? So I agree with staff, it could blow up. But
I don't mind taking it back to the committee might decide to buy their own shirts. I don't know. I haven't had that discussion with them.
Well, then the same thing applies, right? So we have to... The council has to approve the use of the logo for that if they buy the shirts, right? So there's two approved logos for the town, and we control where those go, right? And I'm fine with that as well, but we just got to make sure council's still got to give staff some guidance. Because if someone came in right now and said, hey, we want to buy some shirts, they would not allow them to do that because we control this logo, right? Previous councils, not this one, has said that, and staff's going to follow that unless we give them different guidance. So I don't know the right answer for this one, honestly.
Which is why I was thinking on that website,
right,
anybody can buy for that website.
Right.
But they're wanting something to look official when they're representing. I understand their position.
Oh, I do too.
When they're representing the town, whether it's at the festivals, in our festivals, or working a booth, or doing the traffic garden, or whatever we're doing, they would just like something that designates them as a member of the bicycle pedestrian committee. It is a turnover issue also. You know,
right.
If we buy a shirt, we're going to get at least 4 years out of it before.
Two.
Well, some of us two, but most of us four, so that we get shirts, you know. And I don't mind taking it back to the committee and just...
There is an option to customize. We have it turned off, but we could, behind the scenes, turn a setting on, order something.
But I would rather be the shirt with the town logo on it.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to be representing the town or town committee.
The committee also purchased those safety vests for the event, and maybe we could get those embroidered with, you know, something. And
yeah, those vests cost like $3 or something like that they bought for the... A cheap vest.
Well, perhaps you do something unique to the committees and the volunteers, and just have, I don't want to say it's a generic T-shirt or something, but it would designate that, something to designate the town. If it's not the official logo, something that says Town of Kerry Beach or something similar, and then the committee name on it. Something that's not overly expensive.
I'm not saying that I have an opinion on the logo. I'm just saying that for staff to do something different, council has to say that, right? That's all. I don't have a strong opinion either way, right? I love our logo, and I like that the staff's controlling it. But
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you.
No, that's right.
We can order a basic t-shirt or a general t-shirt.
Yeah, without the embroidery.
Without the embroidery, we can screen print the logo in white on like a blue shirt or a navy shirt, and we can put volunteer in what the committee is. And it will keep the cost down versus trying to do the V-necks and the polos and the shiny polos or the whatever. So we can do t-shirts and save money there, but then I still have the issue of turnover. So we would be reordering those shirts, which is fine. I might could order some.
Yeah, and just keep them on.
And keep them on hand, but I'm not going to have maybe the appropriate size. Yeah.
I would think that, you know, you order them once a year.
Yeah, right. That's true. We could do once a year.
Yeah, so... So let's look at a t-shirt with a screen print, not an embroidery, and see what that cost would be.
But if the committee wants to buy their own shirts, will we approve that using the town logo?
I would say so.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
All right, they may want to get that right.
Do you want it to have the committee name and the volunteer under it?
I'd assume have the committee name on it. Okay. Let me take it back to the committee and we'll see.
Yeah, explain the problem.
I will.
Right.
So that's the reason we're having the discussion tonight.
So okay.
No problem.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Mayor updates. We covered pretty much everything I had on my mind. The park thing is we're working on that with some of the HOAs, so there'll be more to talk about after we get to the new budget approved. Right now, we don't have the authority to do anything with that. So, commissioner items. John, you have any on them?
I do. Two things, I think. The MPO this month, which meets this Wednesday, is going to be meeting at the airport. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a tour of all the new facilities at the airport and how all that was handled, and which is, you know, just our regular meeting.
Right.
But instead of downtown, it'll be out at the airport. And late last week, I was appointed to the North Carolina League of Municipalities Executive Board.
Okay. Congratulations, John.
Congratulations. Very
good. Any inputs? Mayor Pro Tem?
No, I have none.
None? Dennis?
No, I have nothing.
David?
So just a reminder to everyone, it is April, so that bad season's coming again, and I don't mean summer season, I mean the H season. So, you should go through and verify your insurance and make sure it's up to date, because once there's a named storm, you cannot change it. You should make your plan, and like I'll tell people on the 20th or the 21st of next month, my plan always involves a couple of beers and a bottle of wine with my wife, discussing who's staying, who's leaving, and what we're gonna do. So do that now, so that when we're in the middle of a storm on the way, you're not panicking. And I encourage you to make a checklist for your home, so that when you're getting ready to go, hopefully wisely evacuating, like I'll recommend to you multiple times the next few months, you just pull out your checklist, you do all the things on your checklist, you get in your car and drive away, and then when you're an hour and a half away worried about you didn't do something, you can look at your checklist and feel very happy about it. So get ready next season, right?
Yep.
I will
add one item. David always lets me say this from about hurricane season. I would encourage you to leave.
Right.
And I encourage you to leave because this is the only time in your life where you would voluntarily face death five different ways. Down power lines, tides, wind, and there's two or three others that you just do not want to tangle with. Just leave the area. Your homes will be protected, and so will you. That's it.
Is that driving in high water, too?
Yeah, driving in high water. Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah.
Yep.
Thanks.
That's cold, man. Here's two others, but.
No,
we have a lot of information on our website available for hurricane season, but as far as shelters go, we try to update that and stay on top of it during storms, and we'll send out communications during storms, so please sign up for alerts from the town and our emails. I will send you texts through the storm. Sometimes you'll get them at night, but you will get them.
And just be aware of the information available on the website. If there's anything that you don't see out there that you think would be helpful, please call me or write me, email me, come see me. Or if you need that information printed or something like that, just let us know.
Okay.
And watch David's video from last year.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I don't believe there's a closed session scheduled.
No.
Okay. I will accept a motion.
I make a motion that we stand adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.